Alrighty, welcome back, Iowa. You're listening to Around the House. My name is Tim Heddy, and as usual, I've got my friend Rod Fox over here. How's it going, Rod?
Going very well. Did you have a good Thanksgiving, Tim?
I did. I had to go actually down to Peoria, Illinois, to my parents' house, but other than the drive, it was uneventful.
Well, you know, I did a little bit of driving myself, did the Quad Cities, and then back up to my hometown up in north central Iowa, so I put about 600 miles on.
Nice.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's about what I probably put on.
But you
got to be able just to stay home and do nothing.
Did you go fight the Black Friday crowd?
No, I don't go shopping.
I don't either. So,
the wife takes care of the Christmas shopping at our house.
And pretty easy for me. I'm more of the, hey, let's see what we can do from the comfort of our own home and this computer that I bought.
There you go.
Have people deliver the Christmas gifts to me. So, yeah.
That's actually making an impact on the revenues for the state, because a lot of times when you buy stuff online, the state doesn't get their tax money, so you're probably going to see some laws. You know what? I'm not the only one who knows about this, so you're probably going to see some tax laws changing here pretty soon because of guys like you.
I think you're right. No, I heard the reports, and it's up. I mean, people are out there spending more money than ever. This was a record Black Friday year, a record Cyber Monday year. People are out there, and I don't get it.
I saw it on the news that somebody was camping outside of Best Buy. I mean, camping. I mean, they started like Tuesday or Wednesday. We're camping out. Give me a break. I don't care what the discount is, man.
Yeah, it couldn't be that good for me to camp out. I guess if you just come from one of the 99% rallies that got shut down, maybe you got to find somewhere else to go park. And
silver lining in every cloud for you. And
That's right.
Anyways, we're here every week to help you guys at home get a cleaner, drier, healthier, safer, and more energy efficient home. And we've got some great topics today to talk about. Yeah. Now, last week we had Tom Henderson on, who's the marketing manager over at Midwest Basement Systems. And he was talking about the couple of things that we're doing over there this year, the Food Pantry of Iowa.
That's right.
So if you'd like to donate, non-perishable foods, you can bring them over to our office at 5153 Northeast 17th Street. And we'll collect them there, and then we will take them in. Also, Toys for Tots, which, both of these programs are absolutely wonderful. And, it's all volunteer. I believe it's all volunteer, and nobody's really making a salary off of it.
No. And, the Toys for Tots, it's a Marine Corps program that's been going for many, many years. And, but the focus is on the kids. Food Pantry of Iowa, obviously we focus on the people that don't have enough money to get a good, healthy meal. And the big issue for us is that, there shouldn't be a child out there who goes hungry. So,
right.
Unfortunately, sometimes, the kids don't get to make the decision where the money the parents have goes. And so if there is an ability to at least get the food to the kids, it's a great program.
Right. And, stuff like this, I feel like we have to be part of the community. You at home, you have to be part of the community. Don't rely on the government and entitlements to do everything.
Wow.
Okay? We have to sometimes reach down and, pull people back up.
Yeah.
And this is our little part for doing that.
Yeah. And, and not to get too political, but just to go off that, because these are good charities to be able to give to, with what they're talking about in Washington about cutting back the amount of money that you can give to a charitable organization before they start taxing you even more on it, and you're giving your money away, and then they want to tax you for doing that. You're going to find less and less people that have the ability to give to these charities giving.
Right.
And so, there's a big push right now all over the country for the charitable the organizations that do charitable work. Trying to woe Congress from saying, hey, listen, you're going to hurt us. And the end result is you want to take more of this money, which then you want to be able to give out in entitlements and giving, which gives the government the control and takes it away from the charitable organization who's been doing good work and not trying to make any money on it. What a tangled web we weave.
It's getting weird over there, isn't it?
Yeah, you feel like, there's going to be a time when, all I do is I go to work, and you know, my check doesn't come from you or from the company. It comes from the government, because the government's decided how much I'm worth.
Right.
You know, and that's an extreme statement, but boy, I tell you, it ain't that far off.
No, it's really not. I mean, we've talked about this, actually, I think, on this show before.
Yeah.
That, and I don't want this to become a political show. The truth of the matter is there's like 55-56% of society right now is on entitlements.
Yeah.
And if history tells us anything, once you get to about 57%, there is no return.
Yeah. Yeah.
So we're actually heading down some very dangerous roads.
Yeah.
But you know what? It's Christmas season. We got to all play our little part.
Yep.
And
so, yeah, I mean, these are great programs that we're involved in. You know, Tom set them up, and please, you know, if you haven't been involved with them before and you're listening to us, stop on over. We're going to have the boxes to go to the food pantry. Yep. We're going to have the Toys for Tots box.
And I think last year we took in like three big boxes. You know the great big box that you see, the Toys for Tots?
Oh, yeah.
There was like three great big boxes. Yeah. I know Midwest Basement Systems, I sent one of the office ladies up to the store last year and, you know, gave them so much money to buy.
Yeah,
so I think like one of those boxes actually came from us as a company, but a lot of people brought in a lot of great stuff.
Yeah. And again, it's got to be a new unwrapped toy. It can't be something that, you know, hey, the kids played with for 6 years and
I just don't want it anymore. Yeah, we're not your garbage can.
Yeah, that's right. You want to be able to donate something that is going to be a new unwrapped toy. The Marine Corps Toys for Tots group will go ahead and wrap all the toys. They'll make sure they're all safe before they ever get dispensed out to kids.
Right. So, and one thing I would say there too, I noticed this last year. You know, when you go Christmas shopping and you intend to donate the toy, don't make it like a ginormous toy, you know. Get something reasonably sized that can be handled easier. Remember that there's logistics involved here, too. And I'm not saying that, you know, we won't take the donation. We'll take whatever you want to bring over.
Yeah.
But don't make it like a hobby horse, you know, or something like that, you know, where I have to dedicate a pickup truck just for this one toy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. A swing set.
Don't donate a swing set, you know.
If you want to, go ahead and donate it right directly to them. Don't bring it to our shop.
Right, just find a family in need, just take it over there, and maybe you can assemble it for them, too.
Yeah. So. But, again, with the Food Bank of Iowa, you know, non-perishables.
Right.
We can take the perishables over if you happen to have some, but if you want to, you can go directly to, and there, you know, the information on the food pantry or Food Bank of Iowa is on the internet, so you can get their address.
Yeah, and understand if you want to donate like a few turkeys or something, you can do that. You just have to take it directly over to them.
Right.
Because at Midwest Basement Systems, we don't have the freezer facility. I mean, we have a lunchroom and we have a refrigerator in there, but it's usually full of junk. So, you know,
that's right.
Don't bring over perishable items and expect that we're going to have the facility to take them. We really don't.
That's correct.
Canned goods are good. I mean, what else fits into that? I really don't know.
Well, you know, obviously vegetables, you know, if you're going to do like fruits, canned fruits, things like that, pasta, dry goods, those are the things.
So pasta is considered non-perishable.
Yeah, non-perishable. So those are the kind of things that you can bring. But, you know, start thinking about it when you're going to donate, you know, the kind of things that you're going to donate. If you're going to donate something unique, you know, canned meat, tunas and stuff like that, you know, those are fine because that, you know, can be distributed widely. Many different dishes can be made out of that. But if you start, you know, donating like a can of anchovy paste, it's probably not going to run off the shelf, you know. So just, you know, use some common sense. And,
so the whole, you know what a lot of people do, they go through their cupboard and figure out the stuff that they're never going to eat and they just bring it in.
That's perfectly fine. But,
that's
you know,
okay,
like
but
said,
there's a reason you shouldn't have bought it in the first place.
If you bought a gourmet can of, you know, some type of pheasant, or, you know, from 3 years ago, go ahead and just throw that can away. It's probably not going to be any good. And, yeah, who's going to want to eat a canned pheasant anyhow? So that's, you know, just use some common sense.
Okay. Anyways, you should know where we're at anyways, 5153 Northeast 17th Street. And, you know, I was surprised. I was talking to one of our guys, and a lot of our customers actually do come in.
Yeah.
Now, my office is like upstairs and in the back, hidden, you know, and I, it, you know, not really hidden. It's just that I got stuck with the crappy office.
Oh,
so,
I wouldn't say that.
You know, I am somewhat out of the way and I never see people that come in, but somebody was telling me the other day that there's actually a lot of people, a lot of our customers and a lot of people that just come in.
Yeah. You know, a lot of people come in, because, you know, one of the products that we sell has a disposable filter system on it and the Sanidry. And, so people just stop by and buy the filters directly from the girls in the office, which is perfectly fine. We can ship them to you also. You don't have to come in. But we see a lot of people that come in and buy them. And, you know, when you walk in, you know, it is our conference room. We've got a display area of some of the products that we install. So, but, you know, but when we talk to our customers, we invite them to come in. We, as part of our 10 Commandments of hiring a contractor, can you find your contractor?
Right.
This is what we're talking about. You should be able to come in, sit down, and have a decent conversation to understand what the work ethic. You know, are you a part of the community? Or are you somebody?
Can you just pick up your your pickup truck and leave?
Yeah, because of the technology nowadays, you can build a website from Minnesota and say that you've been in Des Moines for 20 years. You know, and you're
well,
not.
Well, we got to get to a break real quick. We'll be right back because I want to talk about a little bit more about that, and then we want to get off to our actual subject for today. So don't go nowhere. We'll be right back with more Around the House. Alrighty, welcome back, Iowa. You're listening to Around the House, and before we went to break, Rod kind of touched on a subject that. I don't want to get off on this tangent too much, but at the same time, this is so important. We have written what's called the 10 Commandments to Hiring a Contractor. And, you know, if you get on MidwestBasementSystems.com, go to the About Us section, and you can navigate through and you can get to it. And there's, you know, these are common sense things that, you know, not that any of us are stupid or lazy or not detailed or anything else, but it's worth a go through. As a matter of fact, if you call Midwest Basement Systems, we send out literature before we come and look at your house. And that, I believe, is now included in that, isn't it, Ron?
Yeah.
You know, so we practice what we preach. One of these Ten Commandments is, can you find your contractor? Because we get a lot of calls every year. I'm not sure what the actual number is, but we get a lot of calls every year. Well, this guy came out, worked on my basement. What he's doing didn't work. So... okay, fine. You know, and we actually have a procedure because we want to be good members of the community. We're not here to bash other guys. We're not here to you know, go out and prove the other guy wrong or anything like that.
Right.
You hired them for a reason. You liked them at the time. Maybe call them back and see if their warranty is going to work. I mean, we've gotten calls before. Well, this other contractor's out here doing the work. Can you come see if they're going to do it right? No.
Yeah.
You made your decision. That's it. Now you got to live with it. But, you know, usually when we get these calls, well, what they did isn't working, and they won't come out and do anything, and I can't find them. You know, and what do you mean you can't find them?
That's right.
You hired them for this amount of money, and you cannot find this contractor? You know, and we don't phrase it like that. We don't want to make anybody feel stupid.
Right.
But, you know, make sure that you can find your contractor.
Yeah. It's so important. I mean, you know, when you go buy something, a car, you know,
right.
of substantial amounts of money, you know, you physically go to, you know, an auto dealership, or if you buy one from someone, you test drive it, you take a look at it.
You have your
it
mechanic
is.
Maybe look
yeah,
at it, you know.
Absolutely. But to have someone just come over to your house and, you know, give you a proposal to spend $25,000, $30,000, $50,000 or more, and you haven't done your due diligence, and, you know, you don't follow – you know, our 10 commandments to hiring a contractor, or follow a procedure that's really going to lower the risk of you being taken advantage of, you know, the risk to you of being, you know, of losing money or having shoddy workmanship done does kind of fall back on you and some of your responsibility.
That's absolutely right.
You can't take all the blame because you're hoping that, you know, this individual that you're hiring has some integrity and some real skills. But when it comes right down to it, if all you're taking somebody at is their word and face value, I'm sorry, you know, I'm going to be less sympathetic to you than if you had actually taken the time to, I mean, and again, you know, things happen, you know,
yeah.
People can be taken advantage of and you can follow, but the risk, the opportunity for that to happen is so much lower. So,
absolutely. You know, and you brought up a great analogy there, you know. Let's say you wanted to buy a brand new Cadillac, and that's roughly what, $55,000-$60,000. I mean, I'm just picking out numbers. I'm pretty sure that's about what a Cadillac costs if you wanted to go buy one new. So if you go over to Willis Auto Campus and you buy one, you know, and you know they've got a great facility over there.
Mm-hmm.
Would you buy that car for $50,000? Okay, you can pay $60,000 at Willis. Would you go buy it from a guy on a street corner for $50,000? You know, that's what we're talking about here, because usually it boils down to the fact, well, we could save a little bit of money going this route. Okay, do you still feel that way? Because you were taken advantage of, the job wasn't done right, now you got to hire somebody to come back in and do the job.
That's exactly right.
Regardless of what you're doing. Let's say you're having a roof replaced or whatever.
Yeah, and we're not talking about, you know, this could happen to you. This has happened to people.
This happens all the time to people. I mean, this is a pretty big issue.
It's a really frustrating, and like I was saying earlier, you know, you get the invention of technology and the internet and a lot of claims that are made, you know, people from out of the area when catastrophic events happen. You know, I'm sure with Hurricane Sandy, the people out there are going to be victims of this also, is that, you know, you see seedy characters who have got a pickup truck and a magnetic sign to, you know, say that they're going to be the ones that are going to be able to get these people back on their feet quicker. You know, I just need the deposit because I need to be able to buy the material. And it's unfortunate. I mean, I wish I could say we lived in a perfect world where this never happened, but, you know, these things do happen.
Yep.
And, you know, there are people out there that will, you know, kind of follow the catastrophic things that happen in society and try and take advantage of people because they see it as an ability to make a quick buck.
That's a fact. Yeah, you know, so, I mean, it's unfortunate, but it is what it is.
And it happens here in Iowa. So
yeah, you know, and we cover deposits in our 10, you know, just 10 simple steps for hiring a contractor. If you're going to hire a contractor, at least read through it.
Yeah, I will say for the state of Iowa, our attorney general has been one of the leading, most proactive consumer protection type of attorney generals in Iowa. You know, I applaud him for that because he really is, you know, phone scams, things like that. Iowa's attorney general's office does lead the country in being so proactive against those things. So they're like pit bulls. They're not just going to forewarn people. They're going to go after and they're going to prosecute. So for us in the industry.
I like that. I mean, I like that.
Correct. You know, we feel very comfortable, you know, working within this industry and knowing that we're not going to. Yeah, it's protecting our reputation also because like we say, you can't stay in business for, you know, 16 going on 17 years now doing the wrong thing.
Yeah, you can't fake what we're doing.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's just – I've had, you know, nasty emails. I've had nasty messages on my machine, you know, from – I mean, it makes me laugh, but from contractors. Yeah. Well, how can you say these things? You know, how can you say – you know, these things about deposits. How can you say that they need to find their contractor and everything else?
Yeah.
But I bet you for every one of those I've had 20 messages from homeowners who were able to head off bad situations. And I'm not saying everybody should have a ginormous shop and, you know, vehicles.
No, I mean, well, let's think about it. You know, you started off with, you know, a couple of trucks and you're renting a building to house. I mean, everybody starts somewhere. You know, unless you're handed a business, you know, from your parents or something like that. Everybody starts out somewhere, and most people, when they start out small. Mm-hmm. They have to build their business up. And that's the great thing about being, you know, living in this country. You have those opportunities. Even though they seem to be strangling us, you know, sorry.
Rod, don't go down that road.
But that's just it. The opportunity is there. You know, you work hard, you do the right thing, and the government wants to take too much.
But we had something really important going for us, though.
Yeah.
We didn't get deposits. We still don't get deposits.
No.
You know, for most things that we do, we don't get deposits.
Right.
If we're going to finish your basement off and there's a bunch of special order stuff particularly for that basement, we're going to want you to flip some of the bill there. Because if you back out, we don't want to be stuck with a room full of your stuff.
And that's, you know, contractors that do, you know, specialty design windows, specialty design cabinets. We fully understand and agree that to leave a contractor holding the bag for those kind of products that are designed specifically for your house, when you have no skin in the game, in other words, no financial loss, I think is unreasonable.
Right.
The contractor does have the right to get a deposit.
I honestly believe, though, that the homeowner has a responsibility in this as well.
Right.
Okay. I mean, don't leave it all to the contractor.
No.
There's
no.
And I don't know if have we ever written anything up where the homeowner should. We had something else that we wrote up.
Well, we talked about how to protect yourself as a contractor. Which was just kind of the opposite side to say, hey, listen, if you're new to the industry, if you're trying to get a business going, here's just some common sense approaches to make sure that you're not taken advantage of by a homeowner.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, there's some recourse for you, but following a few steps. You're protecting yourself also, you know.
Right.
Because we live in kind of a broken society. There will be homeowners that at the end of the day will try and negotiate or, not pay.
Try to take advantage of the contractor.
Take advantage of the contractor because they see that as their right or ability to try and get the job done cheaper.
And there's some of them. I mean, over the years, there's been a couple few of our customers that had that agenda going in.
Yeah.
Didn't work out for them.
No. But, it's very air apparent as a salesman and a sales manager when speaking with people that have an agenda that doesn't really kind of fit in line with an ethical approach to doing a project,
right.
and you know, we invite them to seek excellence elsewhere.
Seek excellence elsewhere.
Yeah,
I love that term. But did you know that if you hire me and you decide not to pay me, and I've done my job, I can put a lien on your house.
Absolutely.
Now, did you also know that when I put a lien on your house, it directly affects your credit? That
yes.
goes directly on your credit rating.
That's
and there's
right.
no way you can get a loan, credit card, anything until you resolve your issue with me.
That's exactly right.
So, now, let's say you don't care about that. You know, maybe you're, for whatever reason, you don't figure you're ever going to buy another house. You already have a credit card. You'll pay cash for your cars, whatever. For
yeah.
whatever reason, you don't need your credit score. Did you also know that I can come foreclose on that lien?
Yeah. That's
meaning
exactly.
I can take your house. I may
yeah.
be second in line to the bank and to your second bank and to whoever else.
Right.
I may not get paid,
yeah.
but you ain't living in that house.
Yeah, so. No, that's exactly right. So all the work that I just did, I did for somebody else.
Right. Now, that's a different thing than whether or not there's warranty issues
yeah.
and maybe some stuff I need to come and do
yeah.
and stuff like that. But, everybody's entitled to making a living and everybody's entitled to, you know, their side of the story. So hopefully it never comes to that.
No.
Anyways, we got to get to another break. We'll be right back with more Around the House. All righty, welcome back, Iowa. You're listening to Around the House, and we were rambling on about some other subjects before. And all this stuff's on our website. So,
yeah.
you know, 10 Commandments to Hiring a Contractor, and go on there and please take, you know, at least read through it. You owe yourself that.
Yeah.
Now, lately, and I meant to talk about this last week. We didn't get to it. Now we're halfway through this show. We still haven't gotten to it. But we've gotten a lot of comments and questions and stuff like that about settlement issues.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of it pertains to homes. And we are – right now, we are fixing so many settlement issues in homes. It's just unbelievable.
Right.
And we're booked out for a while just to look at projects and get there to do the
yeah,
work.
So many people have been widely affected because of the lack of moisture in such
right.
a large area of Iowa.
Another thing where people are getting a lot of settlement is their concrete slabs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, their driveways, sidewalks, you know,
yep.
all this stuff is being affected. So people have asked me, you know, what do you do about it? You know, and there's a few different courses that you can take. There's something called mudjacking.
Right.
Now, mudjacking is where, Rod, your driveway up by your garage starts to settle down, and you've got that – you know, you can drive down the street and you can see the stuff everywhere.
Sure.
You've got that lip, that 3 or 4 inch where you have to drive up onto your garage
That's
slab
right.
to get in your garage.
That's right.
And it actually becomes dangerous because, you know, you get the front wheels up on the garage slab, and then you got to kind of – you know, get some speed up a little bit to get the back wheels over it,
yeah.
you know, and so a lot of people are hitting the back of their garage and stuff like this. So mudjacking is where they come in and they'll drill holes
mm-hmm.
into the concrete and they'll pump mud underneath the concrete. The mud just kind of hydraulically floats the concrete back up to where it came from, you know, and years ago, this is actually where my brother and I started out in business. We were in the Quad Cities and we started out as a mudjacker. And just did an enormous amount. It was a great process, but it comes with its flaws. It's messy,
right?
You know, it's unsightly. The holes don't look great. You know, but something has to be done. Let's say that you you decide I'm going to replace these slabs of concrete up by my driveway, and so then you've got the expense, you've got different color slabs, and you really haven't solved the problem. Mm-hmm. Because let's say you you come in, you rip out the slabs, you throw some sand down to kind of level it off, and then you pour new slabs in.
Right.
That sand starts to settle, and all of a sudden you've got the same exact issue that you had before.
That's exactly right.
And plus you've got different color concrete. You're not going to replace all of the concrete around your building because of settlement of two slabs.
Yeah. You know, to understand, I think people should think, you know, there's an active zone. Of what soil does with expansion and contraction, mm-hmm. due to the amount of moisture that's in it and the different soil types, but typically most will expand and contract. And what we're finding is anywhere for house settlement or even slab settlements, like what we're talking about, is from ground level down to about 18 to 30 feet. All depends on, you know, grade, layout. There's areas where, you know, you may be at the bottom of a hill and get a lot of water that comes down through. So maybe there's, you know, softening of the soils. And the slab, which is spread out over so many different square feet, we hope has the ability to carry that weight, the soil underneath it to carry that
right.
weight. But we then drive on top of it. And so you keep adding this extra weight onto your garage floor or onto your driveway or onto your approach or the sidewalk. Just doing that, that compaction, that continuous compaction creates that settlement. And so we do. We see the squares or sections of our concrete that misalign. And the only way to raise that back up is to, A, either remove the whole concrete, add some fill, and pour a new concrete slab on it, or to, like you had been talking about, start to fill the area where the void needs
right.
to be actually increased so you can get that slab back up.
Yep.
To the area where you want it to be.
And it doesn't matter what you do, because really mud jacking or any other process of that nature, you are still subject to whatever's underneath what you just put in there.
Right.
Let's say you pump a bunch of mud in there. The concrete can – or the material underneath that mud can still settle.
Right.
And, you know, you're back from scratch. I mean, that's just part of it.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, there's ways around that. We've got a process called slab peering.
Right.
Where we core holes, they're big holes. They're like
eight inch
round holes.
Yeah.
This is more of a commercial application. Very, very few residential applications here.
Right.
But then we would drive steel shafting into the ground down to a good load bearing strata.
Right.
And then we would be able to raise that concrete back where it came from, and
right.
you know, then we can give a good warranty and everything.
Yeah, and the same thing, we can do it in a pre-construction manner also, where
right.
you know, it's designed into. The piers are driven in helically, and then you know, we pour the concrete and rebar. You know, rebar's tied into it, so you've gone past that active zone, that
right.
zone of where the soil is so affected by the amount of moisture. Now, again, more of a commercial application, but it can be, you know, designed into, and you know, with a pre-construction pier for footings. You know, new home construction in areas where they know that there's a lot of unstable soils is recommended, because a
yeah.
retrofit where we have to come back, dig up your yard and put in, you know, a retro bracket is very expensive. And that's what we're doing mm-hmm. so much work of right now.
A lot of this has to do with your, and I get this term from you, Rod, somebody's level of tolerance.
Right.
You know, after the fact. After you build the house here, what is your level of tolerance for settlement or water issues or whatever? And everybody, of course, says, no, I don't want any part of it. And then you tell them what it entails
yeah.
to make that statement. Okay, you don't want any part of any settlement or water issues, fine. This is what we have to do.
Right.
This is how much it is. Well, we're not going to do that. My contractor recommended not spending the money.
Well, sure.
Well, then what you're saying to me is that your level of tolerance is way higher than what you
yeah.
originally said, because you're fine with it now.
Yeah.
You know?
There's no reason for me to be sitting in front of you talking at this point, you know, because you've decided that living with, you know, structural
right.
failure, and that's what this is, a structural failure creates a water intrusion. or, you know, soil condition failure that can't allow the spread footing to be able to hold your house in place. And but we, you and I both looked at them, and I mean, you know, I'm thinking back a few years ago when we looked at a home that was 18 months old and it literally had ripped itself in half.
Yeah.
And, you know, 11 doors and windows never worked from the day the family moved into the home. I mean, how do you answer that? I mean, we're talking a $600,000-$700,000 house, and the people were dissatisfied the day they moved in. I mean,
right.
I cannot tell you. I've you know, bought in homes before, but I there should be a level of excitement, you know, when you make this
right.
big purchase. Well, this one had gone through like a 12 to 18 month design, and then an 18 month. Actual build.
The only thing they left out was soil boring and actually
that's
engineering.
Exactly right.
And, you know, in that particular situation, who's really at fault? I mean, think about it. Who is really at fault?
Yeah.
I have a design that I've worked with an architect or whatever.
Right.
Okay. Then I go out and I buy me a piece of land. Then I hire you. You're a contractor to build the house.
Right.
And, you know, this family was holding the contractor responsible for it, but the contractor really made a good point. Well, I don't know. You pointed to where you wanted the house and said to build it there, and that's what I did. That's what you hired me to do. I did it per code.
Yeah.
You know, so really, whose fault is this?
Yeah.
You know, these things get a little bit touchy, but anyways, back to the concrete slab. So once you're done having your concrete mud jacked, and a lot of people, you can see this.
Mm-hmm.
If you go around, you look at your neighbor's driveways or your sidewalks.
Yeah,
you know,
you're
going to
see some holes.
You can see they're like 2-inch round holes and
mm-hmm.
patches.
Yep.
And they're somewhat symmetrical if the guy did his job right.
Yeah, if he did a grid pattern.
And I see a lot of them where there's like one hole over here. There's one hole way over here. And the mud jacking failed. You know, the slabs continued to settle. Well, they didn't get a good fill underneath the concrete slab,
mm-hmm.
you know. You really need a good grid pattern. You know, you need these holes to be like, I don't know, 3 foot apart at the most, because this mud has to travel underneath the concrete slab.
That's correct.
And asking it to go too far is not practical.
No, that's what we call spanning capacity. And
right.
You can actually damage, you know, if you get too far, you can actually damage the concrete
right.
slab because you're raising in two spots. And where the void is, the concrete's not reinforced well enough to actually span that distance. So
yep,
you're,
that's exactly right. So you've got air gaps underneath your concrete, then you're driving
right.
over it with a car. Concrete breaks, settles again, and there you are.
You probably have something that looks worse than
right.
what you did originally.
Now, make no misunderstanding here. I am not saying mud jacking is not a good process. I am saying that you need somebody reputable and somebody that really understands what happens underneath the concrete.
That's correct.
If they take a 10x10 slab, drill two holes up in the corner where it's settled, pump it up, of course everything looks good when they're done.
Mm-hmm.
But what happened to the rest of this 100 square feet? Because I can guarantee you the mud, if it actually traveled, say, 5 or 6 feet underneath concrete,
right.
it was so thin that it's going to shrink up when it dries.
Right.
You know.
So
we also... when we were doing mud jacking, and we don't do it anymore, but when we were doing mud jacking, we came up with a mixture, a formula,
mm-hmm.
you know. And I've sat down with more than one contractor.
I know this story.
You know, well, what are you pumping? Well, I'm pumping this. Well, why are you pumping that? You got to drive 30 minutes away. It's expensive. Why don't you use this? You can get it anywhere.
Yeah.
Oh, that's not the way we do things. Okay. Well,
you got to be open to
you got to be open to new ideas, but, you know, whatever. It's not my problem. So,
yeah.
Hey, we'll be back in just a little bit. We got another break coming up, so don't go anywhere. All righty, welcome back, Iowa. You're listening to Around the House, and we were talking about settled concrete slabs, which can be a safety hazard, definitely unsightly. But,
right.
you know, we're not just talking about driveways. We're talking about, you know, your walkway up to the house or up to the front door, the stairs settling, you know, all this stuff happening. So we actually have a better solution.
Right.
You know, at Midwest Basement Systems, we decided to invest in this process, and it'll have more of a government and commercial application than probably residential, but we can do a lot of residential work.
Right.
And I feel like it's a better product than mud jacking.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, and the product, you know, when you look at it, what we're going to be using as an injection material doesn't break down like the mud slurry would.
Right.
And that's the big issue. When you're using a high-density polyurethane to stabilize and level floors, the material itself, which is, A, it's environmentally safe, but also it, you know, when it has that capacity to stay uniform and not be affected by the moisture content in the soil, which is mm-hmm. always what affects, you know, we talked about that earlier, when you have a very dry year like we've had this, you know, this year, that active zone is so, so intensely moving and shrinking because of the soil, or you get that very, very wet year where you get softening. This material is not affected by that. So you have the benefits of this kind of a longer term, higher or lower risk, with higher, higher results than you would with a standard mudjacking procedure.
Absolutely. So basically what we're talking about is we come up and we drill much smaller holes. I remember before when we said the holes are 2 inches usually for right. mudjacking, 2 inches. Mm. So it's kind of unsightly.
Right.
These holes are 5/8 of an inch. And then we put a port, we screw a port down into the hole, and then we inject a urethane, a high-density urethane underneath the concrete.
That's correct.
That urethane begins to expand, mm-hmm. and that's what actually does the lifting in your building or on your slab or whatever.
Yeah,
I see so many great applications for this, not just the raising of slabs, but also, you know, say we raise a building up, mm-hmm. and there's, say, a 3 or 4 inch gap underneath the footing between the soil and the footing.
Yeah.
So basically we've hung the house on our piers, and hopefully we're making sense to the people out there that are listening. We can actually fill that gap with this material as well and give you that right. extra safety factor.
Yeah, absolutely. So. Because, you know, when much as like we do when we do piering, where we're transferring the load of the home onto the piers off of the footing, the footing's still a main component of the system. But, again, we're transferring the load of the slab onto, you know, this high-density, you know, polyurethane foam.
Right.
And, you know, one of the things that I've seen a lot, and I'm sure you have, Tim, too, also, Tim, is that, you know, those homes, just the way they're graded, areas underneath, like driveways, sidewalks, patios, they seem to wash out all the time.
Yeah.
And this material is waterproof. And, it, you know, once it's been injected into the area, it can't wash out.
Right.
That's a huge issue, you know, because people will, you know, periodically have to have somebody come back and do mud injection on a 2-year basis just because they know that unless they have the ability to somehow redirect the water that's washing it out, which most people don't, just because of the topographical layout of their home, they know that their back patio is always going to get this water that's washing out underneath it. Well, when that happens, you get more moisture up against your house, which creates, you know, water in your basement.
I mean, that's right.
That's why you've got the, you know, the void that needs to be filled. And
how many times have you seen that? You go look at a house that's having a little bit of water issue and just in one little corner.
Right.
Then you go outside and you see that, you know, either there's a great big void underneath this patio or the patio itself is sloped towards the house.
Right.
And, you know, and you got to be honest with the people. You got to say, you know, I can come in here and sell you a waterproofing system.
Right.
But the fact of the matter is we're looking at so much more here. You know, a slab tip towards the building, you're looking at structural issues down the road. You're looking at all this stuff.
That's absolutely correct.
That you don't want.
Right. It's absolutely correct. You know, the durability of this, and I guess, you know, we should talk a little bit about the commercial application just so people understand what a high quality, high durability, you know, product we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this material is used on what we call a bridge approach. So if you're
right.
driving down the interstate and you're about to go over a bridge, a lot of times what you'll hear is your tires go, dunk, dunk, you
yeah.
know, and then
it's like you jumped up two
yeah,
inches.
Yeah, exactly. What this material has the ability to do is, you know, when we get into the roadways and we actually be able to lift the roadway, that approach, that bridge approach.
And so we're talking about on interstates
on
where there's semi-traffic,
absolutely.
You know, concrete trucks.
yeah, absolutely right. The cure time on this is like 15 minutes. So 15 minutes after the injection is done,
right.
the roadway is opened back up, and that's the quality and the durability of this material.
Yeah, we will be actually using this, you know, on roadways.
Right.
You know, we're talking to the Iowa DOT right now about this
yeah.
stuff. And our plan is to go out there, like let's say 35 going north, okay, a bridge approach starts to settle.
Right.
We go in there maybe 2 o'clock in the morning when there's hardly any traffic, do the thing, and then by rush hour, they're driving on it. Okay, this
never
isn't something that needs
there.
To cure or anything else.
That's right.
Which you can't do with mudjacking. Mudjacking, doesn't matter what slurry mixture you pump under the concrete, there's a cure time.
Sure there is.
You know, there is no just opening the road back up and driving on it.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, so that when we're talking about this, you know, it's not a voodoo science. This
right.
This is
tried and proven. This is good stuff.
Absolutely. Yeah. This is the kind of durability of the material that we're going to be using. So if you have, you know, an application, you know, at your home, especially driveway approaches, things like that, you know, this is the durability of this material.
Right. So yeah, any settled concrete, and the beautiful thing about it is, everybody has settled concrete.
Right.
I mean, I bet Rod at your house. I bet you have settled concrete.
Absolutely, and we'll be doing work at my house. So
you've already got it all mapped out.
I've already have it mapped out. I know exactly what we're going to be doing to raise a couple areas. Garage floors, you know, they're
absolutely
the base inside of a garage floor. You know, typically is a sand base, and you know, as much as they try to tamper that down, you can't really tamper sand. I mean,
right.
It does want to. It's going to expand. But when they backfill it and put the floor on, you know, it lasts pretty good for a while because of displacing weight. But again, you continue to drive heavy vehicles up and on that, and so you start to see those areas of settlement.
You know, and that actually brings up a great subject. If you're building a custom house and you have any kind of say-so about what materials go back in, you really, really should call Midwest Basement Systems. I mean, there's things that you can do that just save you so many headaches down the road.
Right.
You know, I mean, waterproofing your basement. You know, we could waterproof a basement before the concrete slab goes in. It's not very expensive, and we can warranty it for life.
Yeah, that's the one thing that I always have conversations with a home that has been, you know, built by the people who are currently living in it. And or if they say, well, we're thinking about building a home, I said, well, let me ask you this. Knowing what you know now, would you have paid a little bit extra? And when I say little, I mean little. It's
right.
It's not like a retrofit of breaking concrete out and having to do a reinstall. But before that floor slab goes down, would you have paid knowing what you know now? And there isn't a single person that has said no. They
right.
all go, yes, I would have paid it. I wish my contractor would have known or told me that these products are out there. You know,
and
we try to bring this information to them. You know, we just
right.
can't make the decision.
Even our methods and the materials that we use to backfill, like the garage floor that you brought up,
right.
What a great, great example. Because if you look at your garage floor, there's walls all the way around your garage. So they dug out so they could put their forms in, build the walls, all this other stuff.
Right.
Then they just backfill all that with sand.
Yeah.
You know, well, you know, there's better products out there.
Yeah, there is.
There's better products that you can get from Midwest Basement Systems.
That's
I mean,
right.
there's just better products.
Yeah,
that
absolutely.
Are not going to compact. They're not going to
right.
settle.
The compression strength is so much better than dirt or sand, and you know that kind of that's a lighter weight material. I mean, hands
yeah.
down, they're.
And this is not the poly level. This is a different product. It's called cellular concrete.
Right.
But there's better products out there, and if you're concerned about some of these issues going on, and they will go on,
yeah.
you know, soil shrinks, okay?
Yes, it
compacts. It does all these funny things that we don't have to put up with this stuff. I mean, we just don't.
Right, and, you know, a lot of it's the building science that we're attuned into. People don't think about, you know, when we talk about compressive strengths of soils, you know, how many people do you think at the Hy-Vee deli right now are sitting down? You know, I was thinking about compressive strengths, and nobody knows
yeah.
this stuff. You know, you have to be in the industry. But that's why we want you to do the research to find out, hey, what kind of project am I doing? What kind of product should be used? And
right.
is there something better? There is.
And, you know, actually, this gives another reason for me to recommend that people come over to Midwest Basement Systems and just check us out.
Yeah.
There's, you know, people think, okay, here's this company that just waterproofs basements.
Yeah.
You know, we waterproof basements, we lift houses, we do a lot of commercial work.
Yeah, crawl space work. I mean,
yeah, there's just so many things. Did you know that we have a concrete pump?
Right.
You know, people don't realize this stuff.
Yeah.
We don't hire out for pumping concrete. It's basically on our projects.
Right.
This poly level system, you know, for settled slabs of concrete, what a great, fantastic system. You know, when I first saw it and first saw this stuff, it was amazing to me. All the things that I didn't like about mudjacking,
Right.
The problems are solved. Yeah. So, anyways, if you need us, just stop on by 5153 Northeast 17th Street.
You can give us a call at 515-289-1606.
Or 1-800-556-5697. Or just get on the internet,
yep.
MidwestBasementSystems.com, and we'll talk to you next week.